Hey guys, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Woken Ratchet.
Somebody got some sense this week. I'm proud of you.
It's probably because I'm a little tired.
I'm only excited, you know, for the moment. I don't expect it to last.
It's not. Had I eaten before we started recording, I would be full and all my synapses would be connecting. And I'm over here
yawning right now, like legit yawning. Like I feel like I haven't slept, and I have.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I haven't.
It's the weather. So here in Houston, it's gloomy. I think there's a tropical storm and or depression on the way. It's hurricane season, so it rains. There's always something going on. So yeah, we get used to it, and then you'll blink, and it'll be 80 degrees and sunny.
I know.
I think we're getting rain for the next few days, though.
Yeah.
So, nah. Just gonna
I think rain until like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, so it is what it is. You get used to it. I'm honestly not mad. It was nice and cool this morning to sit on the balcony because last week has been fairly nice outside. And when I say nice, I mean clearly I mean like mid to upper 70s. Instead of mid-80s, 90s. Or did I say 70s?
When was it then?
I'm sorry. I misspoke. I meant mid to upper 80s, but actually mid to low 80s, but instead of like 100 degrees. It's been like Friday was so beautiful.
I was hot, but
in comparison to what it's been, it was nice. Yesterday was nice. Tell you why
I was hot on Friday. So I started the new job. That's another reason why I'm tired. Like I actually got to be on time for work because my day starts in the office. I told you I ain't been on time since I had to be there.
I was on time to quit. You love a new job, but then it's like, oh, they don't know me like that. I don't know what this is going to be like. I have to actually behave. I have to actually bring the person that showed up to the interview to this office.
Yes. I mean, well, the thing is that we start in the office because we start our day with the team meeting. Okay. So, like, I will always have to be on time.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. So, that's another thing. Like, getting up at, like, 6:30 where I'm like, what? I went rolling out the bed, especially the whole work from home shit. I went rolling out the bed to 7:45.
Yeah.
So I could send a text message at 8 to say that I was up and kind of working, even though I was still getting my ass in the shower at 8:00. So, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. I'm just fucking tired. Yeah. Lord.
But, you know, you get used to it. I still, although I've started to go back to work in the morning, Monday through Wednesday, I don't get used to it. And I just keep laughing. I'm thinking like, damn, I used to leave the house at 7:00 in the morning, like fully dressed, full face of makeup to be at work. And now I would never be on time if I didn't live so close. The other part is that I'm struggling to be on time which reminds me, we have to fill out a form. Every day you're going to be in the office, you have to fill out a form and you can't fill it out within past 24 hours, pretty much saying that you don't have COVID, you haven't come in contact, or you're not experiencing any symptoms. And you have to like say why you're going on campus. This is for anybody who's going to go into the office, any of our buildings every day. Meaning I have to do one tonight for Monday, tomorrow, right? And I can't do them like, oh, these are the days I'm going to be there next week. So it's always when you got to be in on Monday, it's like you forget to do it on the weekend. And then there's only one entrance in the entire place.
Oh yeah, I saw your posts of you waiting in line for them to do the screening.
If I leave the house, so I'm supposed to be at work at 8, right? If I leave the house at 8, between 8 and 8:10, I usually can drive right in, say my name, go, and that entrance is nowhere near my office. So I have to still drive around a little bit to get to my building. But if I leave at, let's say, 7:40, I still will just be sitting in that line for 15 minutes. So the options are leave at like 7:30 to be there and be in my office at 8, or continue to leave at 8 to be there and get into my office at 8:15. That's what I'm going to do.
I mean, 8:15 sounds better.
Because literally the entrance to my office is right off of the street, but that entrance is closed.
Yeah.
I usually have no, I could pull right on in, but now I can't. So here we are. I'm happy to be employed.
There you go.
And things aren't so bad. It's, I think that with everything that's still going on, things are fairly chill. And so I'm enjoying that aspect of it. And I'll continue to enjoy that aspect of it. So
good.
Yeah. Good things. I'm hoping for a productive week.
Oh, I got to go pick up my car later. I got my car. My work car. I got to go pick it up.
Oh, I'm about to say, where'd your car go? You said you got to pick up your car? I'm like, you had a car.
Daisy's outside.
Oh, that sounds like, she's outside. Wait, what?
No, she out there, girl. Chill. I told her she was about to get a break. I was like, look, boo, you going to get a break.
So do you keep your work car all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, boo.
Yeah, so is I gotta pick it up later.
Do you know what it is?
It is. It's a Chevy Trek. So okay. I'm back to the small SUV life, and I love it.
I love it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love you, Dis. Stay working. But right. Yeah, so I don't know what we're going to call her yet.
But I'm never going back to a regular car, unless it's like a Maserati.
Eventually, I figured, you know, by the time that I make, you know, somebody, make an honest man out of somebody's wretched ass son, by the time I make an honest man out of somebody's wretched ass son and decide to reproduce with him, then yeah, I mean, I love this. And yeah, you know, she's had car seats and shit from work. But yeah, no, I just don't see me putting my child in there. Which is why the wretched ass son that I make an honest man out of needs to have a little bit of money so we can pay her off quicker so that I can upgrade my vehicle.
That's very true.
You know, in my mind, it sounds great. And then my dating prospects be like, this is ghetto.
It will come. Everybody, ever since I've gotten mine, everyone keeps saying, like, you have a mom car. And I'm like, I have a not on the ground car. That's what my my goal was, to not be on the ground in this flooding ass place. To sit up and to look down on the people as God intended me to.
One step closer to heaven.
I just love it so much. Clearly, if a bundle of some emotion decides, because I don't know if it's going to be joy, decides to infiltrate, I will put it in that car. But at this point, that's not what I bought it for. I didn't buy it thinking that. Like,
that was not the purpose of this.
Never thought like, oh, I'd fit a baby in here. I really just thought like, oh, I could put more stuff in here. And when I like, all my trips to IKEA, that was part of it. Trips to IKEA would be so much better when you have trunk space.
Your fucking IKEA.
Because I love it. And so that's what I was thinking. I could put more things in here if I have a truck.
Yes. So this car is like the car under yours because you have the Equinox. So yeah,
okay,
it's a smaller baby, but so, she's cute. She's black.
Yeah,
like Never had a black car.
I was gonna say me either, but it's just my second car. Actually, it's my third car, but the first one was white. The second one was gray. This one was black.
Yeah, I had tan, white, now silver. Are those all my cars? Wait.
I'm counting the Mitsubishi. I only had it for a week, but I'm counting it. That's my white car.
Oh, yeah. No, and I don't count the PT Cruiser because I had it just the summer before I left to go to school. So I feel like I didn't have it long enough for her to have really been mine.
Yeah, I'm counting mine because I fell in love right before I had to take her back to the dealership. That's a whole story, though. It's a story for another day, a part of my criminal past.
Lord.
We know that you cannot
be a criminal.
Technically it was criminal, but it was more like I think it would be kind of considered criminal, but it was more like a girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do. I was trying to get ahead and it was just like a whole thing. So I could tell that story one day. It's funny actually, but whatever. Oh, so today we're a little more on our woke side, less ratchet, but you know, some of us can't help it.
Yeah, but before we hop into that...
Wait, what are we doing?
We do need to take a quick break, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. I forgot. Listen to this Marshall. And we're back. And we're black. Okay. So
I swear, we start off so well.
I did. That just wasn't bad.
It could have gone.
We are back. And we are, in fact, black. These are just two truths. Are. That's it. I was just over here speaking the truth.
I mean, they can't see your snappy fingers, right?
Snap, 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 snap.
That was me Lord.
Giving myself props.
Sheesh. Yeah.
Okay, so today we're talking about relationship versus religion, kind of on the spiritual tip, which is, I think, something that we probably touched on before in our first season, where we talked about kind of like our churchiness and how that has evolved in the last years, and kind of like where we stand in terms of our religious beliefs and the like. But I think that, I mean, 2020 has definitely been a year where you need to lean on to something.
Hey.
And I believe in having some kind of a spiritual background and foundation in your life. But the religious aspect versus the relationship, right? Religion, in my mind, implying a lot of rules and regulations. And what I've experienced, a lot of times people have no idea why things are. It's very tradition and this is what it should be. Mm-hmm. You do these things to get closer to the Lord. And sometimes that it's like, if I do this, that will give you relationship. And if you don't go to church, you must not know the Lord, and so on and so forth. So we're going to be talking about our perspective and our experiences and the like.
Yeah, because although we have similar journeys, they're still different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is that, I think, like when I give people the rundown of what the podcast is about, that's typically the question that people ask. It's like, okay, so what is the spirituality portion of your podcast, or what are your thoughts, or, you know, like I said, like with the whole online dating thing. So like my profile say, like, I burn sage, I love Jesus, and I cuss a little bit. So like when people ask about it and then I have to break it down, to me it seems like this big thing, only because, I mean, it is a big thing. It was a huge part of my life for so long.
Right.
That now looking at it and looking at the role that it plays at this point is totally different. That sometimes I have to have a conversation with myself like, oh, child, we done came a mighty long way.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. I was just telling somebody the other day, like, sometimes I see my memories, my Facebook memories.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, everything circa like 2009, 2000, I think that's as far as memories usually go back. Everything circa like 2009, well, maybe not 2009, more like 2010, definitely, through 2013. I was annoying as fuck. On the spiritual tip, I was annoying. I was like, oh my God, the condemnation in my post. Like,
he's on fire for the Lord.
Oh my God. And is it the wrong with being on fire for the Lord? Absolutely nothing. But everything was so overly spiritual when it didn't have to be, right? And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging your God, you know, loving Jesus, loving who you love, all of that. Without it, it could just be like, but girl, it's just raining outside. Why does it have to be, and the Lord is raining his blessing? It was just so
the
annoying.
The sun is shining. God has graced you with another day. Take advantage of this moment. Just pause and give thanks to the Lord, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. Come on, somebody.
Exactly. And he'd
be like, well, let me just reel this in.
Every day.
It's a good day.
That's my thing. We made it. Not like on occasion, not weekly, but like every day. I'm like, why did no one punch me? Why did no one say, girl, stop? Also, because I really wasn't, I mean, I was living a fairly good life, or righteous, or whatever you want to call it.
You wasn't fucking.
But aside from that, I wasn't cursing. I wasn't fucking. I wasn't cursing.
No. You was walking the path.
Which
you
is
know
hard.
What?
Ugh.
You right now. Can get into heaven on your own.
I feel feel like them years should count.
Like, because, I mean, for me, I would say anything pre 2009 should get me in. At that point, those first 2021, shit, I don't know. But those years, at this point, back then, I said post. Oh, no, I'm sorry, pre. Yeah, pre 2009 should get me in.
No. 2009. No, nigga. 2009, I was a senior in college. I knew you. College? No. No, ma'am.
No. I would still get into heaven. I was doing Imani. I was going to church.
Okay.
I was still active. Okay,
yeah. Whatever. I'm not going to count. I'm not even counting the times. Yeah, I was a college ministry leader. But I was out clubbing and kissing and doing whatever on the weekend and cussing and getting super wasted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, but I had stopped drinking everything on Friday.
And now I don't drink because calories. But I wasn't drinking because I was like, that's the devil's drink.
Cool chat. Yeah. But no, I feel like those first couple of years of life, those should give me E. The fact that I got baptized, out the womb
to like two, I give you.
I mean, like two, really?
I didn't even know you then, so dirty hoe. I don't know. I'll give you until you met me. Because when I met you,
my life wasn't that bad when I met you, okay? I was still...
I'm not saying your life was bad. I'm just saying, don't give up your buddy passes. That's all I'm saying.
At this point, I'm trying to collect as many points as I can. So I'm kind of looking at it as, like, you know, a frequent flyer miles. So I'm collecting miles. So the good things, those are adding up. Those are my points. Okay. And then, you know, the bad things, they're still there, but it's like, it's almost like, you know how you start school and teach, like, everybody start with an A. It's up to you to keep that A. So I had, like, knocked my A down to, like, an F minus. But right now.
Not an F minus.
Yes. It was, I was just like, you know what? Let me just fuck this off right quick. They said I had an A. Let's see how much chances I got before it's going. And I was
teacher,
like, oh,
can
wait,
I get
shit.
Extra credit?
Yeah, like I was dead ass like, hey, can I see you during office hours? Because we need to have a conversation. So now I feel like I'm in a better place making more sound decisions.
Okay.
I'm adding points. But my buddy pass, when I told you, I'm going to be ready for my buddy pass. You know, like when you're flying with somebody that works for the airline, you have to be dressed appropriately. You need to get there on time. You need to make sure that you check in. I'm going to do all of those things. This way, when they call my name for the flight, I'm be like, I'm here and I'm as ready. Yay, my turn. Maybe not, because I mean, you know, it was still nice kicking it, but all right, y'all gotta go. I'm ready.
Okay.
So I can get in.
Maybe.
So I'll be okay.
You should.
It's not that bad.
I don't think it's that bad. And I would tell people, okay, so I know I've joked about like how you corrupted me before, which is not an entire lie, but I will tell people what really made me start to look at my relationship with God versus the religious practices that I held myself to and others around me was actually when I went to school of ministry, which seems very like, what? Yes, I learned more about the Bible and God's word. And that is what made me be like, all this extra shit that I'm going through. And let me not confuse it for all of our Christian listeners who might say, oh, you know, I'm not referring to an abuse of God's grace and saying like, yeah, I'm just going to do whatever so that I can say, Lord, forgive me, because he will forgive. And God will wipe your slate fresh, clean, brand new. Like you never did any other stuff. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the religion of what we do and the things that we practice and some of our beliefs. And I'm specifically speaking about Christianity, specifically in this country. We hold ourselves to some of these, like these practices and these things that we do that are tradition and have nothing to do with Bible and God's word. And what mm-hmm. I was, and what really made me learn is not only reading God's word, right? Reading, I love knowledge. I love educating myself. I love finding stuff out, right? I love that. And so it was not only reading the Bible, but like understanding how the Bible was created, right? People who believe in the Bible believe that the Bible, the word of the Bible is God breathed, meaning it is everyone who has written in the Bible, who contributed to the Bible, are inspired. It's all inspired by God and actual mm-hmm. events having to do with the Lord. What a lot of people don't understand about the Bible in the form that we read it is not complete in how it was originally written.
Correct.
People don't understand the canonization of the Bible, meaning there are tons of other Bible other than the 66 that we know of. I forgot how many. There's I want to say it's 128 or something like that, original books of the Bible that we never read. You know, Enoch mm-hmm. has his own book. What's the one who betrayed the Lord? Why can't my name start?
Judas.
There's a book of Judas. There's all these things. And what's really interesting is there are a lot of things that Christians quote and talk about that are not in the actual Bible. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of people talk about the description of outside of Revelation about the fall, how the devil fell from heaven, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole other book of the Bible, and what Christians really talk about, the fall of Lucifer from heaven mm-hmm. and description, they don't even realize is not in the Bible. It is in, and so it's you actually talk about this and you're quoting something that is not in the Bible that you subscribe to. And you have Josephus, who was in charge and was pretty much this is Bible, this is not. This is Bible, this is not. This, and it is all, and if you look at history, it was based on what he, and I'm not saying he wasn't inspired by God, but it was what he decided was important. A man decided these things are important to be in the Bible and these things are not. And so because I decided this is what you believe. And so it was that made me say there are probably some things, and I'm not saying, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with church. I'm not saying any of that. But I am saying that sometimes people put so much stock into those traditions and that religion. And that religion is built off of a man-made decision. And it's all interpretation. And what I always hold dear to me is that when you read the first few books of the Bible, and you learn about especially if you're in Leviticus and you're reading about all of the steps people had to take to talk to God. You could not talk mm-hmm. back in the day. You couldn't just talk directly to God.
You couldn't go beyond the veil.
Yes. You couldn't go beyond the veil. And that behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And so this is why we talk because we're trying to let y'all know, we be crazy and ratchet, but we're not stupid.
But we be knowing.
So all of this decision and how all of my, it comes from a place of knowledge. And so it's the Ark of the Covenant was back there, and you could not, if you were not supposed to, and you went and you reached beyond the veil and saw the Ark of the Covenant, boom, gone.
God wasn't playing with you. So the priest would have to go in with bells on the bottom of their robes with a rope around their neck, because if they went in and they were unclean, they would drop dead. So they had the bells so that they could hear you if you dropped dead, and the rope to pull you out, because couldn't nobody else go in to get you.
Right, because we're look at Julius over there. I ain't finna go over there. Exactly. Julius didn't die because he ain't get his life right before. Right. He ain't get the Leviticus right anointed oil.
Yeah, but Leviticus is also the book that talks about a woman being unclean on her cycle. It's the same book that talks about having marks on your body that people use to refer to tattoos, which doesn't correlate to tattoos. It was just we take the interpretation of others, which is why the Bible also says study to show yourself approved, because you will listen to what someone else's interpretation of the word is, and you go off of it. And I joke about getting into heaven on a buddy pass, but you literally cannot get in off of someone else's else's knowledge. You have to show that you know for yourself that your faith is what it is based off of you. You can't believe because your mama told you to. What do you know? What do you stand on? It stands for something to fall for anything. That's also in there too. But, you know, I'm just saying, what do I know?
No,
just
it's, it's completely true. And what people... When people, you, I hate when people use all those constant scriptures, right? So what people fail to realize in addition to that is when the New Testament times, right? And first of all, even though when we read Old Testament, New Testament, it wasn't like a year. It wasn't like Happy New Year and now we're in New Testament time. It was like a few thousand years or whatever in between those two. So don't forget that. But when you get to New Testament time, the entire reason Jesus came is so that all those things that you had to do to get to God, you don't have to do anymore. So when people, if anybody comes to try to tell you, oh, because you got tattoos or because you gay or whatever, even though all of that is crazy, it's not accurate if Jesus had not come. A lot of what they're saying is inaccurate. But Jesus came to say, you can have relationship with me. I'm here. You don't need to put the bells and the rope and the you don't got to go through nobody else. And I'm not saying you don't have to go to church. I'm not saying this church is not good. I'm not saying that the idea of church is bad. Is church bad? That's a whole other story. I'm just saying the idea of fellowship in a church setting or whatever you want to call it is bad. But what I am saying is, you don't have to have that to be saved or to have relationship with God. And when I really sat and learned and read, and I have read the entire Bible more than once. You know, yeah, you get it where it tells you like your reading plans. Mm-hmm. I've read it like just front, like entire the whole way through. I've also read it like, okay, you read this story and this correlates to this in the New Testament or whatever in those versions. I've read like, oh, here, read the gospel. So I've read the entire Bible before. And it was after like studying and learning that I realized y'all having me go through a lot of these hoops and craziness, and it is not making my life better. Mm-hmm. And if it is not making my life better, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's not bringing me closer to God, especially because it was really setting up people where I could see people who were so far apart from, so far away from the Lord. And I also saw a lot of the clickiness in church that I was just not a fan of. Even when I was in one of the cliques. So it wasn't like I was an outsider and I saw them and I felt like, oh, I'm an outcast, so I'm not going to go to church. I was in the cliques and I was like, this doesn't feel right. This don't feel good. I don't want to make other people feel this way. So I'm not going to do this anymore.
Mine was kind of the same way. Grew up in church, grew up in a small church where everybody knows everybody and heavily involved. So for me, it was, I began to learn the business of church there. And then when I moved to a larger church, I would go, and the way that I started going is that I knew that I wanted something else other than what I was getting in my home church. So I would go do everything that I'm supposed to do. So I'm supposed to dance, supposed to sing, do announcements, whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. And before the preacher got up to preach, I was out the door and on my way to New Life. Like, legit. So it worked out. Like, I've always been a last service girl, and people be like, oh, like, no, I was doing that before I went to Mount Zion and was trying to get to church. Like, I've always been a last service girl because I was doing other stuff so I can get to where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. Come in just in time for Hannah to get up and preach. And then I was in and out. It wasn't until I actually joined New Life the Sunday before I left to go to Fisk. And then I came down to Fisk and I, you know, I went to chapel a couple of times and I was like, this ain't it.
Yeah,
and then when you would hear, and then when you would hear people talk about Mount Zion, it was either, yes, this is a great thing, or you going over there because that's the popular church. Right. And I feel like, no, I have to go where I feel led. Like, I visit other places, but for me, I feel like I was still getting good substance word. Not saying that everything that I was just like, oh, Team Bishop. No, it means that I was able to discern from myself the things that I was able to take from that, whether it be a song that the choir sang, whether it was something that he said during the sermon.
Right.
I'm able to get what I need out of that service. coming back to Chicago and going back to New Life, I have always been active in church. But when I came back, I spent so much time just trying to, like, let me just get in, sit in. I had my section. I sat by myself. I had my little amen corner because that's where we sit, and in and out. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, okay, well, I need to be active. I can't just be here and not be doing nothing because it makes sense. You can't go to church and not work. Okay, get active. Then I get active, and then I get thrown on the board. So now I'm on the board. So now I'm back into the business of church again. Mm-hmm. And even in that large setting, like you said, seeing those clicks, seeing those different things, and then ways that, you know, you grew up. So when you grew up, the ushers wore gloves, they walked you down the aisle, oh, you know, yes. They had a couple minutes, you had the nurses. If somebody starts shouting, then you got the nurses. I feel like, why do we need the nurses board? I don't know. But you get a whole nurses board. Then, you know, you got your deacons, you got your deaconesses, and you got the mother's board. I don't know how old you got to be to join the mother's board, but you got a mother's board, and you got to respect the mothers, and the mothers got their section.
You
got
to have a hat. If you don't have a hat, you can't be a mother.
Like,
I might go back to church in my when I'm old, just so I can. I'm like, I'm a mother now because I got a hat.
Just to be a mother.
I got a hat now. I'm 75 and I have a hat, guys.
I've done my time, and I have my hat.
So I'm ready. I'm ready. That's it.
Just walk into a new church. Where's your mother's board I'd like to join?
Ma'am, you don't I'm 75. You talking bad?
You don't have one? You do now. Welcome.
I'm the first lady of the mother's board.
The president of the mother's board. We do cake on every third Sunday after church.
Yes. I got a nice 7-Up
those
cake.
Things. Yes, bank. But it's those things. Yeah. So yeah, you got your mother's board thing. You know, okay, then you got Sunday school. And then you got prayer. Then on New Year's, you got watch service. Gosh. And then you got a feet washing service. Then on, what's that? Good Friday, you got the 7 last words. And it's so many things. And then communion. Who says the communion has to be on the first Sunday and that you have to wear white on first Sunday in order to serve communion? Like, we get so caught up exactly in the business of church and in the rituals. That's one word. Oh, in Christianity, don't say the word ritual. We don't do rituals. Rituals means witchcraft. No, a ritual is anything that you do repetitively out, like, it's your schedule. Getting up, setting your alarm every night before you go to bed is a ritual. What do you do before I get in the bed? I turn the TV, I set the timer. I make sure that my alarm is set. Take my glasses off, lay down. Ritual. Okay, get right. It's a ritual. Yeah. But don't say don't that because they're going to sweat at you worshiping the devil.
You witch.
Right. You're going to be a witch and a Jezebel real quick. And I noticed that even in Christianity, in this place where everybody is supposed to be welcome, and you get up here and you say, you know, Christ welcomes all of us, come as you are, because come as you are did not mean that you can come in your club clothes and your jeans. Come as you are meant the person that you are on the inside, mm-hmm. to come to Christ as you are to be accepted. It was to make people not feel like I need to get myself together before I can accept Christ. That's what come as you are was. Mm-hmm. We took that and ran with it and felt like, oh, come as you are. I'm walking in here. Am I coming in? I ain't got no church clothes. Right.
Hello, and that's not what it meant. And I probably still will.
I mean, I've been inappropriate for church to the point where I knew, like, you know what? I need a jacket. Let me put this jacket on. Like, let me go ahead and get a scarf to put across my lap, you know, because I don't want to be the cause of somebody else falling lusting over my small family.
I'm going to reprimand myself, guys. Don't worry about it.
Right. Don't worry. I got it.
I got me.
I come with my own cloth. I'm good.
I always have a shawl because I know my body. So that's not because I care about anybody, but I know my body. So, like, let me cover this ass up. Mm-hmm.
Right. Number one, I get cold everywhere. That's number one. Same. Number two, I understand that it's going to be cold on the inside because of the amount of people coming into here. And when I get outside, I'm going to be hot again. So I do want to be comfortable for outside. So you know what? Let me just help y'all on out. Let me just throw this across my lap, put this across my shoulders. And if I got to stand up to clap, I'm going to clutch it. And I got this. I got it. I got a system. But we get so caught up in the routine or the rituals of church that we lose sight on the whole purpose of being there. Fellowship, yes, you are to fellowship with others as it helps to you guys have to be about the same thing. So if your fellowship is not uplifting one another, catching somebody when they fall, calling them and checking, making sure that they still walk in the walk, then your fellowship is doing nothing.
Right.
y'all can go and y'all can have all the activities. Y'all can have a skate club in a church. We're going to have a singles ministry. And your singles ministry be the most messiest ministry in there because everybody's single and talking about that they're looking for somebody. And then next thing you know, the leader of the ministry sleeping with five different people in there. Don't, again, that the business of specific. Church. I mean, I didn't do singles ministry. I was a part of young adults. But yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. We get caught up in these things that go on that at that point, you have turned what is supposed to be about Christ into something totally different. And that's your social hour. And yeah. you're using Christianity as your front. Like, this is your business. In the business, we get church in the front. And in the back, we just back here doing everything that we telling everybody in the front that they can't do.
Yeah.
So there is no way to hold on to the people that you have. How is it that you're supposed to be ushering in new people? A church should never die. Why should a church never die? Because you guys should constantly be building up and drawing others in, and those other ones pull other ones in, and then they have their families, and you build up. When a church dies, that means that nobody is in there. There's no life in there. There's no life. What are we doing? We just coming together to come together. We saying we coming in here about Christ and ain't nobody doing nothing. We all showing up in here. We paying our tithes. We paying our offerings. The building falling apart. But pastor got a salary and his wife don't work. There's an issue with that. And we use the church or the practice of religion as a means of justifying a lot of things that are not biblical.
Absolutely.
So when you get to a point where you learn Bible and you get substance, then you can branch off and be like, you know what? I can deal with this. And that's why I was going in, getting my word and leaving. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to be in to do the social stuff. And then they tell you like, oh, well, you don't want to just be, you know, just a member. So then you start to feel conflicted. Like, am I supposed to do these things? No. You get what you need and you leave. The church is a hospital for the sick, which is why you do things like cover your legs and your shoulders, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be the person to have somebody else in there lusting when they're supposed to be focusing on the word.
Exactly.
That's why you do things like that. But we get caught up in the usher board and who's serving this and who preaching today. Oh, well, my pastor ain't going to be there, so I ain't coming. And it turns into your social hour or your time spent with your family or just a break away from home because you don't like your husband and he not going to church. Like, it turns into so many other things that anybody that is actually there for the actual learning and edifying themselves, they get pushed away. And that's how you get people that get drawn into other things, or people that just fall off the earth and throw the church away because they've been hurt by people. Church people are some of the most judgmental people ever.
Honestly.
That if you come in and you are longing for something and you're searching for God and you come into this place and you feel led to this place, the person next to you could be the person why you never come back. And it could have been something in not even in that service, but in the next service that you needed, but you will never get because the person next to you is mad because you sat in a seat.
Yeah.
Is your name on this bench?
I've had Susie. People just Did do y'all... like the craziest.
It is insane, especially in the black church. I've been to some white churches too. Y'all be messing up too for how, you know, the sprinkle of white people that we may have that listen. But I'm just saying, like, it is insane the entitlement that comes along with Jesus. Like, you have a monopoly on the Lord.
People forget where they were at one point. Even if you grew up in the church and you've, you know, been churched your whole life, I think people still forget, like, that place when you were lost and when you were trying to find a lot of people go to church for relationship. Some people go, I've gone to different churches because I needed different relationship, not because I was okay with my relationship with God, but I needed relationship with other people. And I have, you know, I've done a variety. I've gone to black church. I've gone to a predominantly Latino church. And that's where I was probably the churchiest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you was at the mother church.
Yes. When I was at the mother church mm-hmm. in my life, because that's when I did, went to school of ministry. I was, not only was I a praise dancer then, but I started praise dancing when I was in high school. I was the leader of the praise dance ministry for a while before I left. I was a visitation deacon. I did all the women's retreats. We had iChurch at the time, which is our young adult ministry. I did everything that was like mm-hmm. God-based. I was that person. And then I needed something different because that's when the click, and I was like, this is not feeling right. And that's what I was saying. I was a leader of a ministry and it wasn't right for me. And I don't even say because you know, I get that people are people, but some people, like, I wholeheartedly believe pastors should be held to a higher standard. Like, every time I see, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but every time I see John Gray out here just doing the dummy, yes, you're human, and you will.
My sugar daddy.
Exactly. You absolutely.
I didn't even know that.
You absolutely will fall short. You will. You're human. But pastors absolutely should be held to higher standards than the rest of the people. And when they are just so far from the thing, not from being perfect, because no one's perfect, but doing the things that you condemn other people for doing or that you preach against, it's mind-boggling to me.
How are you able to distinguish yourself, like you said, from the people that you condemn? And how is it that you're able, I just said about a dying church, how are you able to draw somebody else in? What, there should be a distinct difference between somebody that is a Christian, which means Christ-like, and a non-believer. And when you can't tell the difference, then that's the problem.
Yes. And it has nothing to do with like how you dress. And, and honestly, I don't believe like how you speak. It should be about how your life shows up, how you love other people, how you treat other people. When you are showing other people the kind of respect and love you have for your wife by what you're doing outdoors with Susie Lou and Becky Who, that is, you can't love me. Because the person who you stood before a group of people and before God and said you love them and you do, you don't love her. Look at how you're treating her. So you can't love me. You can't preach to me.
Sit there and marry other people and counsel other couples, because why we gonna talk about them? So he married Toya and her husband, counseled them in their marriage. Yes.
I like it.
And in that, the walk that you are preaching to others, if you cannot stand yourself up to the same measure that you are in trying to state that someone else should, or suggesting that someone else should, then yeah, you need to step your ass down and go have a seat.
So yeah, it's that's crazy to me. And I went to a white church, quote unquote white church. It was very United Nations, but my pastor was white. It was one of the Hillsong churches. So
it has to be a Hillsong church.
Because you know, when you think I love gospel, but you got a little Hillsong, some contemporary, you'd be like, okay, I give myself away.
Yes, I will lay out on this floor.
In these jeans. Yes,
I will take my shoes off and before the floor and lay here. Yes.
And I love it, especially because like it gave me the same kind of feeling and freedom I have at church, but I could wear jeans on Sunday. And we had different things at the church I went to. We had life groups. So it wasn't mm-hmm. so there was a lot of different things to like get you, and it was all about getting connected. And so mm-hmm. it was just like, so what do you want to do? So we didn't say have ushers, but you could be a greeter. You could be mm-hmm. in like this book club, you could be on like this cooking club. Mm-hmm. It was like that. And I honestly will say what I believe church should be in terms of the business side and the setup. This was the closest to what my feeling of what church should be. There should be entities in church where we can, we should sing and sing praises to the Lord and preach and hear the word and learn and be encouraged to give a piece of the word that's been given through the preacher that you should be able to refer back to later. But it should also be like, you know, I think there was like a finance group. Like there should be things like that where people are learning life. It was about doing life, so that when we're not together in this building, because we weren't here all day for service, it was like 3 or 4 services, but everything was wrapped up by 2:00. Okay. Something nobody was ever used to.
Not from the Black Church.
But you could, on Wednesday, we might be reading this book, but I'm going to go to Nicole's house and it's a group of women and we're having like a women's, there's no Bible study, but this is our life group and we're reading this book. And it was and the thing that made me go leave that church was when the Black Lives Matter organization was first started, the movement really caught up steam. And I believe it was when Trayvon Martin was murdered and my white pastor stood up in a sea of multicolored faces, a lot of Black ones and Latino ones, and said something to the effect of it being two sides to every story. And when they were the whole Blue Lives Matter, Police Lives Matter, and I knew that that was a place that I could no longer worship.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, and guess who his best friend was that he grew up with? And like they grew up and they played basketball together. Because that's the first time I heard him preach. He came and visited our church.
Who?
John Gray.
Mm.
He was best friends with Pastor Kent.
Mm.
So that's how I got introduced to John Gray when he came to our church. So I knew, and I was there and I was uncomfortable for a few more weeks. And I was telling one of my friends who no longer goes to that church either. And I was just like, girl, I can't go here. I was talking to Adi and Antoine. And I was like, I can't do this no more. Like, it was already making me feel some kind of way about having a white pastor. But when I see clearly you don't, and I've heard that since he has changed his stance and, or he's realized, I'm not saying he's racist. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he ain't, but I'm saying his wording was very poor. And I've since mm-hmm. heard that he's realized the error of his ways, but it was something that I realized I couldn't deal with. That's not the kind of place I wanted to worship. And honestly, that was the last time I belonged to a church. I planned on going to church here. And there was a church, I can't remember the name of it, that I had visited like the few other times I came to Houston. I think I've been there one time since I've lived here.
And I can't think of it.
Yeah, I've been there one time since I've lived here when Paige still lived here. I think we went one Sunday and I have. And then I went to Cherry Church that one time, but I haven't. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I remember what my Sundays used to be like and they're totally different now because yeah. I have not gone to I've gone to church twice in the last 3 years.
Yeah. So I've been to church twice in the almost 2 years that I've been here. And one, because I have no issue with the church per se. I draw issue with the church not living up to its, I can't even say its reputation, but not even living up to its potential. That people are a lot of times drawn to, you know, the new church or the hype church, because mm-hmm. at some point, even being in New Life, I started going to ANWA and people like, oh, you're going because, you know, they're popping. I was at New Life before Hannah was really popping. I went because I actually had gone and visited a couple of times. And I was like, you know what? This man is saying some things that I mm-hmm. like. His delivery is great. And I'm good. I'm in and out. Get what I need. Even going to ANWA. I wasn't even just like going. I was watching on Periscope and I was really paying attention to what he was saying. Again, mm-hmm. still realizing, just like with the Bible, is, you know, translated to how those words were interpreted, inspiration by God. Same thing with listening to preachers. This is one that gets me. If you preach and you do exceedingly and abundantly, because that's not it, it is actually exceeding abundantly. Like there's no and. Exceeding is not exceedingly. And if that's what you say, then you don't read. And if you don't read, you can't preach to me.
As soon as you hear that, you'd be like, oh, put my finger up, I'm out the church.
Gotta put the finger up. I don't know what the finger does. The finger is necessary to leave. Not so much when you're coming in, but when you leave, you got to put it up. It is a signal of an exit.
Beck, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to leave.
Yep, because that means you didn't read. And if you didn't read, then how can I trust what you're saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a pretty good biblical scholar to pull one over on me on a Sunday. You might catch me on a Friday night after a couple of drinks, but on a Sunday.
On a Sunday, yeah, go get your girl.
You gotta know your word. but it really took more education. Mm-hmm. So when we get into like where we are now, like now, yes, I will still, you know, get on YouTube. I am good for good Sarah Jakes Roberts, a Michael Todd, sometimes a T.D. Jakes. Even sometimes I will still go back and listen to Hannah or Apostle Stevenson. It just depends on mm-hmm. how I feel. But I still have my time. Like, me and Jesus have time. I still, it's not that I'm like, oh no, no longer believe in the Lord. No longer, like, no.
Yeah, no.
A church is a place, and I don't have to be in the building in order to have relationship. That's the difference between religion and relationship. Absolutely. Religion is that rigidity, that routine, that ritual of getting up and having to go to church and feeling like if you're not in the church, then you're not really saved. That's religion. Relationship comes into what happens when you are home from the time you walk out that building on Sunday to the time that you return the next Sunday. What goes on during your week? Is that the only time that Jesus hears from you? Is that the only time that he sees you? Is that the only time that y'all having conversation? Is that the only time that you're opening your Bible? Because mm-hmm. at that point, yes, that's religion. But if I can sit and I can get a prayer through, I know if it was something that I need to do, me and Jesus have a good enough relationship that he is not foreign to the sound of my voice, that when I speak, he is not, who are you?
Girl, you better preach on this Sunday. I mean, y'all listen on Tuesday, but it's Sunday.
But that's the difference. And if you don't have relationship, then your religion is not going to get you anywhere. Yeah. So yeah, I joke about going in on the buddy pass, but that's because I don't be up in the church. Yes, I use crystals, I burn candles, I pray, I will listen to my music, I will sound my chime. Why? Because the Bible that everyone wants to stand on and justify says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Meaning that if he created it, if you're telling me that the Bible says that if I don't open my mouth and give him praise, that the rocks will cry out, then why is it that those same rocks that will then cry out for him are not something that I can use to give him glory?
Yes, absolutely. Preach. Let me pass the collection plate. It ain't got no money in it, but because I ain't got no money.
Well, my PayPal, Venmo, Venmo.
No, there's no money in the account.
I'm a cash app. Oh, well.
Maybe for the people. There's no money in my account. It's not pay.
I don't even know. I feel like, you know, the new job, they got paid. I know this is like so off topic. They got paid Friday. And I was like, oh, I just got here. So I guess I.
Does that mean no money?
So.
But I work here.
So I got to wait to the first to get the check from the other people and then wait to that Friday to get paid from y'all. Like. So where's the monies?
I've been here for 5 whole days. Where's my monies?
I need cash.
I need monies. Yeah. I mean, I've been working 2 years and I still have yet to get used to getting paid monthly. I get used to it. And now all my bills are paid and I stopped double paying them too early. Cause that used to suck. So I don't do that anymore. But then when I pay them, when I get paid at the end of the month, I'm broke. And I'm like, oh, it's only the 20th. I have 10 more days.
Sorry, guys, for that brief intermission about paydays. But we're back now.
But yeah, we are. That's ultimately where I am today and now is I have a relationship with God. I still pray. But I add other practices to my spirituality, like you were saying. Which I feel connect me to God. I always tell people my favorite thing is to like be at a large body of water, preferably an ocean, because it's my time to meditate. It's when I feel closest to God. And I utilize crystals and the burning of sage and things like that to commune with God and spirit and the universe. And I use them interchangeably. And I know a lot of people don't ascribe to that because they feel like God has to be masculine man and that's God. And if that's how you feel, then God should be what you need him to be or her to be or it to be. I could not imagine a God that is omnipotent, omnipresent, and the master of all things and being just confined to being a man. And in y'all mind, a white man with a beard. But you know, whatever makes you feel better. God is all encompassing to me. So
if you're not in the box, then you're not right.
So, right. So for me, like when I say the universe doesn't want that for me or the universe is speaking this to me, I mean, God, it's the same thing to me. And I will continue. And I've had people tell me that ain't it. Y'all, you want to just say the universe. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to argue with you about it because spirit says that you a clown. God says I should stop talking to you and the universe is going to protect me. So all the, and I mean the same being, entity, person, feeling, time. Whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, so when I have my moments, yes, when I explain crystals to people, I say that crystals are formed in the earth. Scientifically, they have to do something based off of the composition of them. Number one, if my body, according to science, is made of protons, neutrons, and electrons, yes, they give me the gravitational pull in order to be this being. And those crystals that I have are created of protons, neutrons, and electrons to give them their composition, then theirs with mine. Based off of simple science, according to what they taught in those classes, that together they have to create some type of connection. That's the scientific part. The spiritual part is that even biblically, if we want to go Bible again, colors meant things. When Jesus was born, what did they bring him?
Frankincense and myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which are what? Yes.
They like incense and yes, crystals and stuff. That's what I'm about to say. People forget about that stuff. Like,
yes, at so many points in the Bible, certain properties or certain things were introduced in so many different areas. But because you are not knowledgeable enough to know, to be able to draw from your own knowledge, that you lean on the understanding or the interpretation of someone else to tell mm-hmm. you how to feel, think, and believe, that anything that goes against something you really don't know for yourself is wrong.
Absolutely.
Because you'd rather condemn than to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. So when I sit and I have my moments, and if I decide that today I want to play gospel music while I do it, or today I want to listen to, who knows, a sound bowl meditation, whatever it is that I do in my time that I spend with me and the Lord are mine. If I choose to invite you into that space, I'm not seeking your approval. I'm not seeking your understanding, nothing. Mm-hmm. Because I know what I believe.
Yeah.
And that's enough for me. And I had to get to a point where I didn't care if my family thought that what I, because again, church, mm-hmm. my grandma is a, both my grandparents are preachers. I've said mm-hmm. that several times. And it took them a while to feel like anything other than what they knew, because you only know what you know.
Right.
So at that point, when they were asking questions, then it's my turn to then provide, because I am knowledgeable about what I do. I don't just do things haphazardly. I took the time to study. When I go and I go shopping for crystals, or when I burn different types of sage or Palo Santo, or I light a candle, or any of those things that I do, it is all purposeful. And I have studied the reason why I do these things.
Right.
Same thing with sage. Scientifically, sage purifies the air.
I'll be arguing with people who love to be like, y'all out here burning this sage. I just be like, in 2020, when Google is right at the tip of your fingers,
hey,
I refuse to listen to people who will not. It was one thing when you had to go to the library and if the encyclopedia, if the latest edition wasn't out, mm-hmm. and you had to read a newspaper, it's one thing. But when literal and I understand that not all information out there is accurate and you have, but if you can't read numerous articles that will explain things, if you can't ask a person what this means and be able to make educated opinions from it, if you're just going to say, this is out of the realm of my knowledge, this is out of my wheelhouse, so it must be evil or it must be anti this.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned and am learning, you can't argue with them type of people. They will always just believe that. And, yeah.
And there's a difference between asking for understanding and asking to condemn.
Yes.
And I've gotten to a point that even with me sharing the things that I've learned with others, I always tell people to research for yourself. Find out what works for you, because what I may do may not work for you.
Right.
Yes, I stick crystals up my vagina. Why do I do so? Because it's my business. But there's so many different things. You talk about Catholics and their rosaries. Have you ever asked them why they use them? What is the purpose?
Like,
seek knowledge. Don't seek to condemn. And when people are so firm in their beliefs that they would rather condemn than to try to understand, or you have no knowledge, so the only thing that you want to argue with is your opinion or your thoughts. Because anybody can come to me and tell me that anything that I do is not Christ-like, and I promise you that I can pull biblical scriptures to back up any and everything that I do. Why? Because I decided to study to show myself approved.
Girl, these are the same people who still celebrate Christmas and think that it is about Jesus. So, and ain't nothing wrong with Christmas, because I like Christmas. I'm planning on getting my first tree as an adult this year. I love Christmas. Do not get me wrong. But people want to argue with you about paganism and what is and is not of God are the same people who think that Christmas is about Jesus' birthday. And yes, that is how we modern day Christians celebrate it, but that is not what its inception was. Jesus, if you read, was born in the time of the harvest. That was somewhere in late September. It's probably sometime this week would have been Jesus' birthday, late September, early October, whatever, somewhere around there. Happy birthday, Jesus, right? It was not December. The harvest had already happened.
But we're talking about people that have a calendar that starts in January in the middle of a season, when technically the actual New Year doesn't start until the spring equinox. But I'm just saying.
You know, whatever.
Again, just some reading.
That's why I'm like, and my last point for me is that ultimately, during a lot of my search for where I stood with my relationship with God, I feel more connected now than I ever have. I feel happier with this version of myself, more so than any other version where I was trying to be quote unquote good. I try to be a good person, but I was trying to live this life that was just not working. It's not because I don't want to be good. And if anybody knows me, I'm a perfectionist. I'm probably the hardest on myself, which is why sometimes I don't listen to other people, because I'm like, nobody can be harder on me than me. And I now am more comfortable with this version of myself and living my life, and am prepared to live whatever consequences lie ahead of me on the other side. But you know, Jesus, if it is supposed to be all this checklist stuff, I just want you to look at the 4 years that I was solid checklisting good Christian girl. Don't forget about me, Lord. Don't count. I don't believe, according to how stuff is laid out, I don't believe that's it. But if it is, just look back at them 4 years.
That I was in there.
Just think about that. Don't look at all the other stuff. If that's the case, I'm ready for that conversation at the gates. Like, go back to 2010. Remember?
Pull the tape.
Roll it back. No, not there. Don't stop right there. Back.
Just let it run. I'll tell you when to stop. Just let it run.
Like, if you're sitting there eating popcorn. Oh, that was fun. Well, okay, Jesus, turn your head. Don't look at that.
Here we go. Okay. Wait, no, that's too good. Keep going. Faster. Can you move this any faster? But yeah, I just feel like it, same thing that they be like, it don't take all of that for people that gotta shout, for people that speak in tongues, for people that fall out and roll over on the floor. Like, it don't take all of that. Don't know what it take, people.
Yeah. Sometimes I do.
Right. But even when you started going a new life for me, I was like, okay, we going in, we're gonna sit down, and we'll be right back out the door. Go in. Sit down, right back thing. Out.
It was great. It was great because I was. That's when I had just like, okay, let me. That's after I had left. Whatever the church. I can't even think of the name right now. That's when I left that church, Hillsong Church. And it was like, I still felt like I should go to a church. And that's when I was saying, like, should I be going to church? I was just like, I remember that first Sunday. I was like, this is weird. I'm not getting dressed for church. I'm not doing anything. Yeah. And it really kind of pressed on, like, my, it took me a while to, like, figure out my identity outside of my relationship, like, with going to church. And because then how I showed up to other people, people were like, you ain't in church. And it's so funny when I see people who I haven't seen since maybe 2012 or something, and then, like, they'll, or even, like, they're my friends on Facebook now, and they're like, whoa, or, you know, we haven't engaged, and they're like, remember the last time I saw you was in? I was just like, yeah, girl, shh.
Go on about your
business. That
ain't, I mean, hell, she ain't even here no more. My mom be like, so you found the church yet? Girl. Listen.
I ain't looking.
I said that there's two that I want to visit, but I want to visit. I'm not saying that I'm about to go in here and jump like, oh, found me a church. Like, no, but sometimes I do like the fellowship, and sometimes I do like being able to enjoy praise and worship, you know, with others.
Yeah, there are definitely parts.
Corporate worship is a great thing. It's when amazing. Everybody's on the same page. But also, again, I want to get my word and get on out.
Yeah.
I don't want to get caught back up in. And every church is, I'm not saying that every church is the same. So if you go to church and you found with how y'all do business, then do it. Everything is not for everybody. And that's the freedom of having the life that we live at this present day time. Absolutely. This is not back when they were stoning people, or, you know, if you said that you only wanted to pray to God and not pray to an idol God, that you would be condemned and you would possibly face death. This is not that time. And not I get yet. It. All of you people that's listening, like, oh, well, we only Christians because that's what the white man taught us. We had our own religion, Africa. Okay, that's fine. But also the Bible does say that before we die, you will have a chance to be introduced to Christ. Now, whether or not you choose to hold on to that, totally up to you. But you can't say that you don't have a knowledge whether or not it does or does not exist. That's it.
Yeah.
So, again, you have the liberty to do as you please. We are only speaking about our experience of being Christian women in church for a considerable amount of time and where our journey has brought us to today.
So, if you're supposed to do it, you do it.
That's that relationship is between you and the God you serve.
That is it. Boop, 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 boop. What else, Fran?
Nothing, because it does kind of seem crazy that we are about to go from talking about, you know, relationship and religion to the next segment. So, guys, we have finally named this. Let's do songs first. Let's do songs first. We need a break before we, let's just do songs because.
Oh, our song of the week.
Yes, let's do a song.
So, you know, after the last song, I was listening to Olivia in my car.
So I'm about to business. I can't take this anymore. Yeah. So what you got?
Did I already give a Keke Palmer song?
Yes, you did.
Dang. I thought, okay. So my other song I've known, but I feel like every time I listen to her album, I'm always up in Shea Butter Baby, but I don't give enough love to Whipped Cream. So I like that song by Ari Lennox.
Yes. Me and Ari have been, you know, riding this wave of me loving her for quite some time now.
So, yeah.
So you're adding Whipped Cream to the playlist. Let me find it. Okay. So my song this week is more on the ratchet side, because as I'm considering making my return to the pole, really just some conditioning. Mm-hmm. But once I'm ready to like dance, my song is Pretty Diamonds by Young Jeezy and Chris Brown.
Okay.
To me, that is like I want to hit the pole like I need dollars raining down. Like, I want to be sexy. I want my heels on. I want to clack heels. I want everything. Okay. Like, it can't take place. Yeah, I'm going to have to, I don't know, get an Airbnb somewhere just to pole.
Oh, my God.
Like, for real. Like, that song, it just made me feel super sexy. Like, it gives me strip club vibes. I know, but it does. It really does. So yeah. All right, guys. So remember, the playlist is live on Spotify. It is called For the Woke Ratchets. You can also just search Stabby J on Spotify and it will show up there also. It is in my playlist. It is a public playlist for your listening pleasure. There's quite a few songs there now. You know, we are constantly adding to it. We are actually remembering now.
Yes.
You know, it's part of, told y'all, we actually, you know, we got an outline. So it's actually a part of the outline now. All right. So our new named segment is Hotivities.
Hotivities.
Hotivities. I don't know. We'll come up with something.
We should make up a jingle about it.
Like Moesha, Hotivities.
Oh my gosh. Maybe. We should figure something out. Find like a little beat we could put it over.
I mean, pretty creative.
Yeah.
We can do, I mean, and we both will randomly freestyle about shit at any given time. But we'll come up. Listen, guys, it'll have an intro soon. Okay. Work with us. We just gave it a name. So this section of Hotivities is where you will catch your hotels, ho fails, and ho tips.
Hotivities.
I almost want to call it boats and hoes, but we're at boats.
I just live in Houston, but
yeah,
but we also have we do not have boats.
If you have a boat and you want to be my daddy, let me know. But back to this week's Hotivity. So, friend, do you have a hotel, ho fail, or ho tip?
I don't have a hotel. You know, I have about 10 hotels. I've already told 5. So I got to like spread mine out over the lifetime of this podcast we're doing. So I don't have a hotel. I probably have tons of ho fails. I'm trying to think of one really quickly. A ho fail. So
I'm gonna be like that.
My hoe fail,
okay.
Actually is a hoe tip as well.
Okay.
Always make sure whatever bodily function you need to handle prior to engaging in sexual activity, do it. This actually is a two-part. It's a double tip. Also, okay. Hennessy and oral sex don't mix.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I had a drunken night, and I had been drinking Hennessy. And before we got involved, I knew I need to throw up. But I said, but then you'll have to rinse your mouth out and brush your teeth and do all this kind of stuff. Just do the, this is also drunk me talking. Just do the sex. And then when you go to the bathroom, you could turn the like the thing on and make the noise. And then you could like pee and throw up and do everything you need to do before you go to bed. So me there, drunk, off the Henny, which is a bad idea.
Ugh,
penis. Gonna go for it. Gonna give him some good head. It was wet and drunk, so that was fun. Until his penis tried to touch the dangly thing in the back of my throat.
Ooh.
And it immediately triggered the gag, which in some scenarios is sexy. In this, it was not. I threw up. Not like where you suck a little, like you gag and it's like extra spitty. Like puke. But like as soon as it came out, I smelled it.
It's nothing but Hennessy. Hennessy don't smell good.
Oh my. So in that moment, I'm like, I have two options. My options are to slurp this back up and swallow it. or throw up again and just let it all happen.
So which door did you go through?
I went through door number one. So I always consider myself a champ because I slurped it back up, swallowed, and then I kept going until it didn't smell like throw up anymore.
Oh my God.
And no, I believe we were at my house. So then I went and like, I tried to make it sexy. I went and got ice, but I also went and got like a little bit of like, it was like a fruit or something I had to like take the smell away. So I had to do all of that. I think I maybe like got like a pep. I licked a peppermint or something to kind of, I didn't want to put mouthwash. I didn't want to like kill him to like change the sensation. Still drunk, but also in my mind, not wanting to be so embarrassed because I threw up on this man's penis. It was probably one of the top three most disgusting things I've ever done. Because I was also that kid in school that when I saw somebody else throw up, I threw up. So how I managed that is beyond me. Drunk me did that. Because sober me would have never been able to do it. Sober me would have been like, bleh, 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 bleh. Sober me would have never made it. Drunk me was like, come on, girl. Come on. it was so bad.
And, you know, there is not much that I will be turned off about, but that made me gag.
It was because it was bad.
Like, it smells awful.
It like, was friend. I don't know why. It was. I don't know why I was drinking it because I don't drink Hennessy.
I know Hennessy is not your drink of choice. So
it was terrible. Wait,
is this the weekend that I left you? I know the story, but I can't.
Perhaps I don't know. This was okay. It was bad.
Okay. Yeah. So
I don't remember. I honestly don't even remember who it was.
That's what I was
like, I just remember it that it was at my house.
I think it was the weekend I left you.
But I don't remember who it was. So I know it was my house though.
Yeah.
When I was living on the south side.
Ooh, child.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun. So I just have a whole tip. And I'm gonna keep this very quick. Guys, it is not always okay to put your finger in her booty. I say that for a couple of reasons. One, because what if she had to poop before y'all got together? And okay, like then that's like fresh poop and you put your finger up there and then you take it out and what are you gonna do with it? Exactly. Two, if you like backdoor action of any kind, invest in the bidet hookup for your toilet. That goes for guys and girls alike, okay? If you like a little action backdoor, whether it's a finger, a toy, a apparatus, a penis, a cucumber, or a finger, or a tongue, just
make a cucumber.
Listen, do you not know how many times people go to the hospital for having foreign objects up their ass?
That's nasty.
Like crazy shit. I promise you, if you Google, there are so many stories about men coming to the hospital with random shit up their ass and they try to say they fell on something. Sir, there's no way that you fell on a boomerang. That's just not how that works.
Oh, God.
Wait, that, like how little kids stick shit up their nose?
Yeah.
Yeah, me and come to the hospital, it's just stuck up their ass. So, yeah, whatever it is that you choose, just, you know, invest in the bidet and work your booty muscles to kind of, you know, or if you really like anal stuff, get the little booty dush thing that they have. I don't know where they sell it because I don't know. I just heard that
Amazon has everything, so I would surmise that Amazon probably has it.
I could find somebody's ratchet ass husband to make a honest man out of on Amazon. Amazon does have everything. They were actually... Oh, no, that was Wayfair. They were talking about selling kids. Okay, anywho.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just take care of your butt. That's all. And use lube. You don't want to tear your booty. You don't necessarily have to use a water base for anal play. They have certain lubes for that. But in your vagina, yes, use a water-based lube, ladies, okay? Or actually, coconut oil is pretty good, and it smells good because then it gets all warm.
Stop it. Stop gyrating. Y'all, she gyrating with her robe half open. I'm uncomfortable. I already seen your boob like twice. You flashing me when you adjusting.
My new boob? I got new ones. They got a little bit more meat to them. Just a little bit. Not a whole lot.
I'm losing mine.
I got
a good ride, girls.
A titty. Like, I don't have titties. I got titty. That's all I got. Just got titty. But, yeah. So, and have lube is okay. Okay, listen. And this is it. It is okay to use a lube. Okay? There is nothing wrong with using a little lube. Actually, most ladies would probably prefer a little lube versus you trying to muster up spit to spit on her vagina or just spit on it. Unless you just got like a really wet mouth. Because if your mouth is really wet, I'd be like, ooh, kissing because my mouth's dry. But I keep water next to the bed. What?
Would you come up?
That was the whole fail and the whole tip for this week. No hotels because I'm trying to live a righteous life. I'm really, like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just over here. But I couldn't think of any good stories to share today.
I'm going to start writing mine down. I'm running out.
Talking about loving the Lord. And yeah. I'm just like, what can you say after that?
What can you do with the same attitude? Okay.
Now I want to watch the fucking Wonder Years. Thanks.
That was a good show.
It was.
I used to be so confused. I'd be like, is it the 70s? How are they going back in time to what? That's like 7-year-old me.
I wonder. Is it also
they used to go back in time and do that? I'm sure it's somewhere.
I'm sure it has to be. So, guys, it has been a fun ride. I hope you all have enjoyed this episode from us. We had fun talking with you guys. We always do because you guys are so entertaining.
Yes.
We love all the feedback. If you were grossed out by last week's episode, guess what? Oh, well, it's a part of life.
Right.
Vaginas bleed. But, you know, this week was more on the, we get into the woke. We get into the ratchet. We talk about the spiritual. I mean, we talk about the sexuality a lot. We talk about the duality, but we really wanted to give you guys a dose of the spirituality that we say that this podcast is about, because we have our. It's just us. That's how we do things. Again, this is not saying that this is how other people should, you know, govern their lives. It is yours, and you are the driver of that vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, as always, for listening. The listenership is going up, 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 up.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. Next, maybe not next week, but the week after, you know, we'll actually put on clothes and do our hair and kind of record ourselves because we, you know, it's nice talking to y'all and we get to see each other, but we'll give y'all the chance to see us for the YouTube page that we don't use.
Right. We need to start doing that.
We will. As always, thank you. Follow us on all the things. All the links for all of those will be in the description of this episode. If you would like to if you have a business that you would like for us to add a commercial to the episode for, please go ahead and hit us in the email. What's the email, friend?
It is wokeandratchetpod@gmail.com. That's woke, the letter N, ratchetpod@gmail.com.
Follow us on all the things. Again, those links are in the description of this episode and any other episode, as well as our individual pages.
Yep.
We continue to post tomfoolery and ratchet
all week long.
All week long. Sometimes it corresponds to the episode. Sometimes it just is funny.
Yes.
Absolutely. Or a little hair raising. But a friend and have that friend tell a friend, tell your mama, tell your auntie, tell your granny. Just don't tell who mine because this is not a space for her. Other than that, guys, we love talking with you. And until next week, bye.
Bye.